So this is Dr. Sabrina Arshesky from University of California, Davis. And here is my poster talk. In California, early psychosis clinics were originally mostly developed through academic research settings, but with the evidence and research backing early psychosis care and CSCs, coordinated specialty care, through national funding, but also state funding in particular over the past couple of years, has dramatically increased individual California county development of these EP programs. This, though, has occurred in a more siloed atmosphere, as there's no state-based top-down direction or programming of these community-funded clinics. In response to this need, a statewide learning healthcare network, LHCN, along with a national initiative, EpiNet, was funded to connect these clinics and create a more standardized and harmonized way to assess the efficacy of all clinics and models. And for California, this is being done by implementing an e-health outcome-based data collection and visualization tool, Beehive, which offers the opportunity to increase data-driven care and better integrate clients and families in the discussion about their data that they complete every 6 months. In addition to organizational differences and technology implementation, workforce issues such as time expenditure for a specialty CSC training, the potential for burnout due to the high levels of acuity and crisis in this population, and ultimately turnover, anticipated or not, are other challenges to navigate. These things together, you know, were on the mind of the Learning Healthcare Network prior to COVID to better understand what factors supported staff and contributed to resiliency when implementing this type of work. But COVID then offered an additional opportunity to assess the rapid transition and impact of telehealth rollout on these domains that we were already anticipating would impact e-health implementation. So we asked all participating programs during 2019 and 2020, this was 6 university and 9 community clinics, which included 109 staff, and they completed 2 sets of surveys. Some data was collected prior to COVID and some after. COVID and telehealth were unknown potential new stressors, so we slightly modified our battery to add specific questions about their experiences. With these added questions, we were able to look at the organizational readiness for change and e-health readiness measures and how they were associated with burnout, satisfaction, and turnover across clinic type, and for some instances, a pre and a post measurement. Qualitative data is also offered, so there's some context for these quantitative findings. So to start off, there's more ethnic and bilingual diversity in the community clinics participating, which likely reflects the different diversity needs of these communities. Additionally, university clinics staff have a higher median of years working with individuals with psychosis. However, community staff have a higher median number of years working at their particular clinic. However, you know, they may have more recently converted over to EP care, so may not have that more specialized bit to it. When looking at the different clinics' readiness, university clinics reported less personal commitment to implementing new e-health, so things like being a champion for technology, and less adequate offices, while community clinics indicated more staff and training needs, higher rates of turnover, more internet restrictions, more supervision needed, poor tie to their clinic's mission, and less team cohesion prior to COVID. There were no differences on organizational environment and organizational readiness for e-health across different staff attributes, so things like their self-reflection of efficacy, adaptability, and satisfaction, and where these pressures for change are coming from. Moving into the middle column, though, there was wide variability in experiences. There were no differences in pre or post burnout within or across clinic type. So when interpreting the graphs, green means better, so lower scores for burnout, higher scores for satisfaction. During repeated measures analyses, controlling for these readiness factors, there was a trend interaction effect suggesting burnout patterns did in fact vary a little bit by clinic type, with university clinics having a marginal decrease in burnout, and no change for community clinics. For satisfaction measures, there were no differences or repeated measures findings. In a one-way ANOVA controlling for these readiness factors, there was a significant difference in endorsement of turnover, which was a kind of general organizational pattern regardless of COVID. And community clinics had higher rates of turnover. So next, there's a series of regression analyses that were run to predict burnout, satisfaction, or turnover, controlling for the readiness factors in addition to the baseline frequencies when applicable. For regression analyses, the heat map colors align with the weight of the beta values that you'll see at the bottom of that chart. For university sites, pre-COVID levels of burnout and satisfaction were strong predictors for post-COVID levels of burnout. However, motivation for change and staff attributes were also predictive over and above these pre-levels. Since burnout marginally decreased for these staff as a whole, motivation for change and staff attributes may be considered possible resiliency factors. And so you can see in the correlations below, the more positive staff rated their attributes, the lower the burnout and more satisfaction they had post-COVID. Turnover also was significantly predicted by staff attributes, but also organizational climate, so stress, cohesion, communication, and organizational e-health technology were trending towards significant. Post-COVID burnout and satisfaction for community clinics, on the other hand, was only significantly predicted by their pre-COVID levels. So how stressed they were or how satisfied they were pre-COVID really strongly predicted this post-COVID level. Turnover was predicted by motivational for change, which includes program staff and training needs. Okay, so thinking of these results, how can they be interpreted? It does appear that some differences may be at the organizational structure level, but certain staff attributes and change needs, including training, could be resilience factors to burnout, maintaining satisfaction and increasing retention in one's job in early psychosis clinics during COVID times, but also into the future. It's possible to interview individuals by asking them targeted questions during hiring about qualities that may be protective against burnout, such as, you know, tell me about a time when staff asked you for your advice, kind of getting at this influence variable. However, trying to screen out certain attributes may not be the most effective way to do this. More so, what programs can do to prepare staff adequately to manage the demands of the job, such as through thorough and comprehensive EP specialty care training, which university sites have been doing, you know, possibly more effectively and longer than community clinics. However, some community clinics participating in this project are getting some other training opportunities through one of our other projects, through our training and technical assistance support or a consultation through UC Davis. So staff, you know, possibly may be less stressed over time as they find their footing in the EPCSC world. Additionally, since late 2020 to present, we've been creating individualized reports for each clinic, demonstrating the translational qualities of these data. So bringing data back to the clinics and learning about what they're doing to mitigate burnout and increase wellness among their staff. We are then able to take this information back and synthesize it, look at what's worked, what's not been successful, and hopefully come back to that LHCN and learn from each other. Another big finding is that when looking at individuals in these clinics en masse, you lose details about the true story of the data. So in the final column, data for burnout and satisfaction are shown with the individual change patterns. So staff had varied experiences. Some had less, the same levels, or more of burnout and satisfaction while working from home. So following each bar graph, there's a word cloud of the qualitative data participants said about their experience with burnout and wellness. And so kind of just taking in that there's this range of experiences. So contributing to burnout, individuals said things like social isolation, anxiety, difficulty sleeping, the unknowns about the future were really important to them, impacts to productivity and effectiveness and focus. And on the other hand, overworking really impacted their self-esteem and satisfaction. And then another chunk, work-life boundary issues, you know, some due to family responsibilities, the unstructuredness of the workday bleeding into home life, having clients in your personal space, all those things contributed as well. Technology barriers, individuals noted the burdensomeness of like Zoom and screen fatigue, difficulty transitioning to new tech, the impact that it had on clients as well, engaging over tech or, you know, having poor connectivity. And then also organizational level things. So county and community clinics appear to have more documentation and logging of hours, that staff felt like leadership micromanaged them. And this likely impacted, you know, clinic roles differentially and less than the academic settings. So, you know, participants brought up poor communication and frequent policy changes when the transition occurred. So these organizational issues as well. COVID also increased the acuity of cases of coming into the clinic. So there were more crises, there were more frequent check-ins. So things were often taking more time and not having a break from screens, that really impacted folks. And so time was brought up as this very important issue and a limited resource. On the other hand, many people still said, no, I'm not burned out. And that's reflective in these individual level change scores in the bar graphs. Participants also indicated the positives of working remotely and from home with telehealth. Some indicated it afforded them flexibility. It helped them focus on healthy behaviors. It gave them more time with family. They practiced more self-care. They noted the fact that due to not having a commute, they were saving money, time, and stress. That technology, kind of on the flip side of the burnout, it actually helped clients who had certain barriers, such as transportation or engagement difficulties. And also that technology brought the teams together a little bit better for certain types of connection and communication. This all led to many recommendations to continue telehealth and remote work in a hybrid format. So to also be more intentional about self-care and, again, noting the significant importance of time as a resource. So beyond the use of telehealth, there are many other applications of e-health and implementation of early technology or of new technology, like what we're doing with Beehive. And we hope this project continues to advance our understanding of integrating technology with clinical care and improving the overall delivery of EP care and outcomes for clients and families. Thanks so much for listening and hope you have a great rest of the conference.